Sit back, relax, and enjoy as Don Tony gives you news and reviews from AEW, NXT, and indie wrestling too.
Know what's happening in the world of wrestling without the hate and clickbait.
It's Wednesday night, Dynamite.
And now, your host, Don Tony.
Okay, what's going on, everybody? How you all doing this week? It is Wednesday, the 7th of September, 2022. I am here tonight. Little bit of an abbreviated episode of Wednesday Night Dynamite. Just a reminder, next week I will be on vacation. I will be on my honeymoon. That is the schedule. Tonight we are going to keep the show pretty much short on topics. We'll talk about AEW Dynamite tonight, which I thought was an excellent show. Congratulations to the Death Triangle. Props, Tony Khan. It took your locker room to go into complete disarray to finally do something right. I tell you, I was really, really concerned they were going to give the Trios Championship to the best friends. Nothing against Orange Cassidy. Chuck Taylor, I'm sorry. Sorry, just doesn't cut it for me. I think people would say that the Lucha Bros, even though we see them almost every week or every other week, and even though they have been featured on TV maybe more than any other tag team when you add up the amount of time, there's been many moments that we feel that they have been slighted. And yes, it kind of sucks that the circumstances behind the scenes is what led to them getting the Trios titles. But you know what, Pac? Now, two belts, I'll take it for a little while. I'll even take another tournament. We got a few things to get into today. And also a very sobering reminder. You know, yes, I'm going to rehash a little bit of what we talked about Monday, but it's very, very important. Because if you look at my feed, not just Twitter, but if you look at other outlets that are posting feedback of what I talked about, what you keep seeing written all over and over and over again is, wow, this kind of like puts things in perspective. Okay, there's more going on here that meets the eye. And I posted something 48 hours ago. I did research. Other people did not. And I wanted to bring to people's attention a little bit more as to why CM Punk went after Nick Houseman of Wrestling Inc., why he went after the media in that scrum. I got news for you. Kudos for Dave Meltzer and Brian Alvarez to shut that fucking roly-poly Brad Shepard up today. You know, with him trying to make the claim, oh, Thunder Rosa requested her release right after the Marina Shafir match. He had no firsthand direct, you think he DM'd Thunder Rosa and asked her? No, he just wanted to get the hits and the views because he felt left out of the party. Because I got news for you, Thunder Rosa probably is on that path of snapping at the media just like CM Punk did. Nothing personal against Brad Shepard, but there's just too many things that rub me the wrong way with that fuck. But let's give you a quick little reminder. We'll talk about the suspensions. We'll talk about the possible future for Ace Steel, CM Punk. We'll talk about the suspensions of Kenny Omega, the Young Bucks, Michael Nakazawa, Christopher Daniels, Pat Buck. Quite a few people got suspended. Did the Young Bucks, you know, get suspended because they really got suspended? Some people think keep them off TV because one may be supporting a pretty good shiner right now. You know, there's a few things that we're going to talk about tonight that a lot of people are not getting into, but I want to just open up. And I got to be honest with you. Other than some notes from tonight's Dynamite, I have nothing prepared. I'm going based on here and on here. And, you know, it's terrible. It's terrible to see the media that have created and allowed this storm to build for 3 years now trying to act like, you know, unbiased journalists. These motherfuckers are trying to put out the fire, trying to make solutions. And guess what? For the last 3 years, they were in the back of the house with the match lit, lighting the fuse, lighting the house on fire. And now the fire is out of control that CM Punk lost the championship. Oh, yeah, you could write it off. He got injured. He got this. He got that. He got this. You know, you could write it off anyway. You could spin it any way you want. The problem is they're trying to divert the fact that these motherfuckers created a time bomb. They helped AEW build their foundation on silly putty. And now it has come to roost. I got news for you. This is something you're not going to read anywhere. There are a lot of veterans, obviously, but there's a lot of people that work behind the scenes in AEW, most in the ring still, performers, that actually are quite happy with what CM Punk did. See, CM Punk right now might truly be the voice of the voiceless, because there are people that work in AEW that honestly will never have a shot in WWE. AEW, Tony Khan overpaid some people. Tony Khan paid some people 3, 4, 5 times the amount they would make anywhere else. And now they have their whole lifestyle. Some of them have families. They don't want to lose this opportunity because this might be the greatest opportunity that they ever get. And they can't speak out about the EVPs. They cannot complain about the bias backstage. They cannot complain about the clicks. When you watch the shows on a weekly basis and you see certain people on the screen, and you're like, why are some of these people getting this much TV time, getting this much exposure, and other people that you feel, you know, would be main eventing NXT or, you know, came from WWE and they can't get a break? You know, there are people in AEW that are very, very frustrated. They're forced to keep quiet. You see somebody speaks up. You remember the whole Big Swall stuff? You remember the Leo Rush stuff? You remember some of the other things? You dare speak out? That's it. You're done. And I'm not saying that there's a whole bunch of Big Swall incidents in AEW, but there's a lot of shit going on. And for 3 years, people looked the other way. They actually avoided posting certain stories to basically try to rub elbows with Tony Khan. And 48 hours ago, all I tried to do was shed light on why CM Punk singled out Nick Houseman. I actually wrote online, he's not a bad guy. Nick Houseman is not one to look for controversy. The problem is there's a lot of people out there, as Jim Cornette has said, as Conan and Disco Inferno and other people have said, there's a lot of people out there who call themselves journalists that simply because they write on a website for a year or 2 years, or they go on fucking some of these other websites and post an article, that's the formula. You see people getting blue check marks, and that's because all they have to do is get a Forbes, a Sportskeeda, get somebody to publish 4 or 5 of their articles, and then they could go to Twitter and say, look, I'm on these big sites as an author, blue check mark. Hey, I'm a journalist. There are too many people out there that have no degree in journalism, never went to school for this shit. And they got way too comfortable saying shit just for hits and views. And Nick Houseman, nothing personal against the guy. The reason why his name keeps coming up is because he was the one that was going to ask CM Punk a question. And before he could even ask anything, CM Punk attacked him. And there's reasons why. Because nobody out there bothers to check with sources. How many times, seriously, everyone, how many times do you see any of these journalists say, we reached out to CM Punk for a comment and he didn't respond? We reached out to Thunder Rosa for a comment and she didn't respond. We reached out to Colt Cabana for a comment. He didn't respond. We reached out to Tony Khan for a comment. He did not. Do you ever see these people do that? No. You get one person to make a bullshit claim and then a whole bunch of other people cut and paste it. And now because 15 sites cut and paste it, then you get other sites that say, oh, numerous sources are reporting that Colt Cabana was moved to AEW, to Ring of Honor, to distance himself from CM Punk. CM Punk has not been friends with Colt Cabana for almost 10 years. When he joined AEW, this is something nobody talks about. When he joined AEW a year ago, Colt Cabana was one of the topics discussed between Tony Khan and CM Punk. And CM Punk said, look, he's not my friend. What he does for AEW is between you and him. What I do for AEW is between me and you. And as long as, you know, we're working for the betterment of AEW, we don't have to do work together. We don't have to be friends. We don't have to. CM Punk had no problem with Colt Cabana working for AEW. This was a non-issue. And it was taken care of before he ever signed with AEW. Now, a year later, because you have the contracts. Remember last year when I said 2022 will be the year of the contract for AEW? Now contracts are rolling over. Ring of Honor is still a dead promotion. I don't give a shit that the Pure Championship was defended tonight. It's a dead promotion. And now you have contracts coming up. And now Tony Khan is like, I don't need this person. I don't need this person. I don't need this. I don't need this. I don't need this. I don't need this. But because Colt Cabana is very well liked behind the scenes, especially amongst the EVPs, what happens? Little crumbs get put out to websites that they know will put it out there. And then other sites will pose it as a question to cover their ass. And I brought up Death Before Dishonor. Remember? Death Before Dishonor happened earlier this year. There was a Q&A that went down at Death Before Dishonor. Now, just 35 seconds, in case you need a refresher, or maybe you didn't tune into Monday's show, or maybe you've been under a rock, or maybe you just want to see it once again. This is how the All Out Media Scrum started. And this is Nick Houseman's audio you hear, and CM Punk confronting him. Listen close. Don't just hear it. Listen close.
Say your name and your...
Cool.
Hi, Nick Houseman, Wrestling Inc.
I'll start, Nick. Show of hands. Who here fancies themselves as a journalist? You're a journalist, Nick?
All right. I try my best.
Okay. No, real quick.
Go ahead.
You still do improv?
No, not a little bit.
No?
No.
When you did improv, who'd you do improv with?
I did it with Scott Colton.
Hmm. Okay, so you fancy yourself a journalist. Would you say you're friends with Scott Colton?
No, I haven't talked to Scott in some time.
So you're not friends with him?
No, Scott and I do not see eye to eye.
Oh, wow. Well, that makes two of us. My point is, if you fancy yourself a journalist, even if it's for the silly world of professional...
Now, you see, I didn't cut that clip off at that point. The people that were posting that cut it off right there before CM Punk could stick his fist up the journalist asses that have been pulling this shit for far too long. It's Nick Houseman. If you do a Google search, if you search Nick Houseman and Colt Cabana, there was a friendship there. And if you look hard enough, it's almost on a weirdness level. You know, Colt Cabana walks out of the courthouse. Nick Houseman is the first person there with the red carpet coming out of the limo. You know, hey, what's your thoughts of this? Colt Cabana comes out of a taco place, and there he is. Hey, what did you eat? You know, look, they're friends. That's fine. But he's brushing it off like, oh, is that? And did you hear CM Punk say, you fancy yourself as a journalist? Okay. Death Before Dishonor. Not too long ago, they did a Q&A. The Q&A for Death Before Dishonor lasted 1 hour and about 10 minutes. Towards the end of the Q&A, and I think this is a very important point to make. Towards the end of the Q&A, there was only two people left that were going to ask questions. And Nick Houseman was announced to give the next to last question. They were going to be done. Now, I want you to hear what Nick Houseman asked Tony Khan earlier this year about Death Before Dishonor. Now, he brings up a Fightful report. Hey, Fightful is reporting is this about Colt Cabana. Okay, fine. But then he sneaks in a question. And this is the shady bullshit that I have been talking about for years. That you pose it as a question to make it seem like, oh, other people are reporting this. I just want to know if it's true. Why didn't this motherfucker reach out to some of the people at hand? Well, I'm not friends with Colt Cabana anymore. If you're a journalist, you reach out to people, whether you break bread with them or you don't talk to them at all. Check out what Nick Houseman said at this Death Before Dishonor. And again, 48 hours, this has been circulating by a lot of you out there. And a lot of you who are tuning in right now sent this to multiple journalists out there, or supposed journalists, or fancies themselves as journalists, and said, hey, you know, there's more to this. And have you seen anybody say, oh, shit, you know, I didn't even think about that. Oh, yeah, do a Google search. You'll find a whole bunch of, oh, shit. I know they're just ignoring it because they know the truth. They know the truth because all of these people that are trying to come up with solutions how to put out the AEW fire, these motherfuckers burned the building for 3 years. Here is Death Before Dishonor, right before they go off the air. Nick Houseman asking Tony Khan this.
Okay, so Nick Houseman is next.
Hey, Tony, thanks for taking the time today.
My pleasure.
So I wanted to ask you about this recent Fightful report that Colt Cabana is slated to be a part of the Ring of Honor roster. He's not advertised for this card. Is he going to be in the ROH
mix? Question.
And I was also wondering if you could comment on the dynamic between Cabana and Punk. We know there's issues. They both talked about it, but there's some speculation that Cabana may be headed to ROH to put some distance between the two of them.
That's the game that they play, everyone. And CM Punk is fed up with this shit. And there's a lot of people that were in that media scrum that has been pulling this shit for 3 years. The latest one is Brad Shepherd with Thunder Rosa. You bother to ask her, hey, is it true? You know, I'm about to report that you requested your release after the match with Marina Shafir. Is that true? If she don't answer you, if she says, go away, fat fuck. If she says, no, I have no comment. Then you go online and say, I reached out to Thunder Rosa to verify it, and she called me a fat fuck. Or she did not respond. Take note, every time you see these anonymous questions, do you ever see them say, we reached out, we contacted, we DM'd, we emailed, we asked this, we got... No, you never see that. They don't want to reach out because they know most likely it's not true. And if they do reach out and post it anyway, then they come out as fake news. That's why when CM Punk, when people are calling him, and I can't believe I'm being this big defender of CM Punk, but when CM Punk said not too long ago, hey, listen, you know, you have an issue, you have a problem, reach out to me. Thunder Rosa went on Busted Open. You got a problem? Reach out to me. Other people, you got a problem? Reach out to me. Nobody reaches out. None of these journalists do that. If they did, go look. Ask them, did you reach out to this person? Did you try to contact them? What was their response when you asked them before you put this live? It's not sexy, everyone. That's why when we have conversations like this, a couple of hundred people will find it interesting. But thousands elsewhere, because they want to be titillated with exaggerated bullshit, fake news, that's more important. Too many people don't give a shit about the truth anymore. Now, as far as what went down with AEW, you know, whether you love the Young Bucks, Kenny Omega, and anybody else that worked behind the scenes, when you accept an executive position, this is not a storyline. This is not the Young Bucks and Kenny Omega on TV calling themselves executive vice presidents, EVPs. They have legitimate corporate positions. And sorry, you can't just turn around. I don't care how angry you get. You don't fucking show up at CM Punk's locker after he does what he does on the media scrum. Hey, Punk, the fuck was that out there just now? Open the door. Fuck you, I'm getting dressed. Open the door, Young Bucks. If you don't open the door, we're going to huff and we're going to puff and we're going to super kick the door down. You're a fucking executive vice president. Can't do that. Sorry. And the police were called. The police were called. The minute I heard the police were called, that is the snowflake woke era. Can't just settle things anymore. No, the police were called. They had to intervene. Ace Steele's wife was in the locker room with CM Punk. CM Punk's dog was there. Ace Steele's wife, from what I understand, is recovering from some serious leg injury. Someone said it was a torn meniscus. A few other people said it was a broken leg. And she's in that locker room. And you got the Young Bucks with Mikal Nakazawa and Christopher Daniels. Well, not Christopher Daniels, but he tried to break it up. And then that got out of control also. I actually feel a little bad for Christopher Daniels because I heard some conflicting things and more people said he was trying to defuse the situation more than anything else. But she's in that locker room and they're banging on the fucking door. And then because, you know, we got to keep this certain aura, they kick the door down. And then Ace Steele is like, the fuck you doing? He throws a chair and hits, I think, Nick Jackson in the eye with a chair. Let me tell you something. I just got married on Saturday. I'm going on my honeymoon this Saturday. If I go to a wrestling show and my wife is in a locker room and somebody breaks the fucking door down, bangs the door, even creeps her the fuck out, I'm going to pick up anything I possibly can and throw it right at your fucking head. You can't do that as executive vice presidents. But Tony Khan is in a horrible situation right now and he needs to depend on these people. What is he going to do? If he takes Punk's side, the EVPs, did you notice today, since there were no EVPs involved that were in the Zoom call with AEW and CM Punk and Ace Steele, do you notice how nobody had any crumbs that leaked out today? Did you see that even the people that are rumor mongers, did you see how nobody wrote a damn thing about it? Because they were too afraid to be wrong. They had no idea how Tony Khan was going to handle this. All we knew is that there was going to be a meeting today at 4 o'clock. Not one person even gave a little crumb as far as what was happening in that meeting. Because these EVPs threw, and let me tell you something, nobody, no fucking journalist, if I was them, I wouldn't do it. You think any journalist is going to go out public and say, yeah, look, I got to admit it. You know, Young Bucks, you know, they do send me little crumbs here and there. You know, they'll put something out there. Look, Birdie, you know, I didn't tell you this, but, you know, Birdie said blah, 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 blah. They're not going to tell you. They want you to subscribe to the newsletter. I'm not, and this is not Meltzer. Meltzer, I honestly could say, does not get involved with this stuff. I want to make that clear. This is not about Meltzer or Alvarez, all right? But there are others out there that want any crumb at all. They're like pigeons in Central Park. They're all walking. And then you get an EVP that says, you know, that's not happy about Colt Cabana's position. Hey, you know, I heard through the grapevine that, you know, CM Punk, you know, doing a little power play and, you know, basically forcing Colt Cabana to be regulated to Ring of Honor, which is a dead promotion. And what happens? They all run for the crumbs. They'll run for the crumbs. They all got to put something out there. And what do? They pose it in a question to cover up that they don't know the fucking answer. Do they bother to get the answer? No, they just throw it out there. They know Tony Khan is not. You think Nick Houseman expected Tony Khan to say, yeah, you know, Nick, to be honest with you, yeah, CM Punk, you know, they don't get along and, you know, they keep their distance for CM Punk. You know, we did. You know he's not going to give you an answer. Even the MJF stuff. You know he's not going to give you an answer. But Tony Khan is not going to go on a media call and say, I have no comment. I can't say, you know, this today there are people reporting that Tony Khan actually did leave a voicemail for MJF and said, look, you know, I'll give you this. I'll put you on here. I'll give you that. Yeah, you do business on a voicemail. This is why most of these people don't have any legitimate jobs, because they don't know what the fuck is true and what's not true. Blurred lines, kayfabe, journalistic kayfabe, all this shit is going down as we speak. So now these EVPs, they give little crumbs to the pigeons and they run with it and everybody flocks to it. And sorry, when you see all these people all flocking to it, hey, I want some of that. I want some of that. And that's why CM Punk blew up like he did on Sunday. And I'm happy that he did. And I know there's a lot of other people out there that are happy that he did. And now, because of his result of it, he is no longer AEW World Champion. The Young Bucks and Kenny Omega are no longer Trios Champions. Hangman Page, there was no chance in hell he was advancing in this tournament today. Hangman Page is the center of all of this. Did you hear William Regal's polite little insult to Hangman Page today? My favorite part of the entire episode of Dynamite. And right away, I got DMs from a few people. He didn't mean it like that. He didn't mean it like that. If you don't know what I'm talking about, William Regal, when Hangman Page was taking on Bryan Danielson today, and we'll get into the brackets in a minute, but during that match, William Regal said that Hangman Page is one of the few people in AEW that he has had no interaction with over the years. Now, people are like, well, William Regal hasn't been around. And it's that's because Hangman Page has gone on record. I don't seek veterans' advice. I don't seek out. I don't listen to them. I don't pay attention to them. The masturbation, Bret Hart stuff, you know, taking a shot at CM Punk earlier this year. You know, I'm not defending the AEW championship against you. I'm defending AEW against you. Eddie Kingston, you're not welcome here. These are people that have protection in the office. So they try to do a little bit. This is their version of sunny days, if you know what I'm talking about. This is their sunny days. And CM Punk, he's not having this shit no more. And there's other people in AEW as well. And maybe Tony Khan, you know, learned a lesson today. My problem is that he still has active wrestlers in executive positions. You think that there's going to be an epiphany? That next week or the week after, Kenny Omega and the Young Bucks are going to return to the office and want to have a kumbaya moment with CM Punk? You think suddenly the mindset, this is CM Punk in old school versus woke culture and the snowflake era. This is coming to a head. You have people like Bryan Danielson, who's married with a kid, that is like, look, I got more important things. My life is my family. I love pro wrestling. I don't want nothing to do with the politics. You give me what I got to do and I do my job and I don't bitch and complain about it. CM Punk was out of wrestling for 7 years and hated wrestling at certain points or gave that perception and basically said it. He comes back to wrestling. Do you remember the 1 year anniversary of CM Punk signed with AEW? Remember that Saturday morning show? The first thing I said when I opened up with that show was, you all noticed, like, nobody's really talking about it's the one-year anniversary of CM Punk, because CM Punk, for quite some time, has been public enemy number one in that company, because he is one of the few people that has made his money, that has mapped out his career, that doesn't need wrestling anymore. This man don't fucking give a fuck. This guy comes in, and he is everything that Hangman Page is not. He is everything in view, you know, that the Young Bucks and Kenny Omega are not. You know, you see when he talks about women, when he talks about this, when he talks about that. You know, you look, I saw somebody write today that AEW has made some history with women's wrestling in their promotion. And I'm like, the fuck is this? I click on it. You know what somebody wrote? That this is the third week in a row that AEW has put a women's match in hour number one. That means there's no match in hour number two. People are actually trying to make this come out as news, historic, big deal. Wow, women's wrestling in AEW. 3 weeks in a row, there's a match in hour one. You stupid stunatsis. There's no fucking match in hour two, you dumb fucks. You look at the women's wrestling, you see what's going on. People are afraid. Most of these journalists, they're not going to ever get acknowledged by Nick Khan. They're never going to get acknowledged by Vince McMahon, Triple H, Stephanie McMahon, and others. So these journalists, their only shot to be connected with any major, this is their shot. Anybody remember back with me? Do you remember 20 years ago when I started doing some work for XPW and then USA Pro Wrestling, and we were trying to get a little bit of press on onewrestling.com when Mike Johnson and Dave Shearer and Buck Woodward and all of them were still working on that website? And we would be on page 15, and then MLW came around and Ring of Honor came around, and they got front page headlines, front page headlines, front page headlines. That's because Mike Johnson wanted to get jerked off by Court Bauer. That's why this, oh, Gabe Sapolsky and all of them are. You saw what was going on 20 years ago when they're Wrestling Society X. Anybody that goes back with me 20 years, you remember this clearly. A lot of people to this day still don't know that people that were very, very important behind the scenes of Wrestling Society X were also important behind the scenes for XPW. And when XPW finally closed up shop back in 2003, and then Rob Black got into all that legal trouble, Wrestling Society X came out a few years later, and some of the same people that worked behind the scenes in XPW are now involved with Wrestling Society X. And I remember one person in particular. I don't want to say who he is, but a lot of you may remember back in the day when I talked about it. He said to me, he goes, this motherfucker used to go around Philly to tell Philly that porn was coming to the neighborhood and trying to get Ring of Honor to blackball Boogaloo and Lowrider and others because they wanted to just make an extra payday by wrestling a match against Mexico's Most Wanted for XPW. All right. These motherfuckers did everything they could to get XPW shut down. And now this same motherfucker is interviewing me about Wrestling Society X. I remember when he said to me, he's like, phew, like these motherfuckers. But they kept their mouth shut because they were getting big time press. These journalists realized, hey, you know, maybe we could get in with Wrestling Society X, with Ring of Honor, with Court Bauer, with MLW. You remember the whole MLW Court Bauer story with Florida back in the day? We had Shane Douglas that was going to main event a USA Pro Wrestling show here in New York. It was a big deal. Mass Maniac Frank Goodman was renting out a cage to have Raven and Shane Douglas to fight in a cage. This is like 2004 or 5, 6, somewhere around that time. And MLW had TV at the time. And MLW was advertising Shane Douglas in Florida. So me, the Mass Maniac, we get on a three-way call with Shane Douglas. And Shane Douglas is like, look, I don't know why they're reporting that. I'm coming to your show. I sent, and I still probably have copies because I never deleted my old emails. I still have my old email addresses. I contacted Mike Johnson, who was advertising everywhere that Shane Douglas was coming to Florida for MLW. And I said, listen, Mike, we just got off the phone with Shane Douglas. He's working in New York. That commercial that MLW is airing is bullshit. Please, can you get to Court Bauer? Because he was, you know, proverbially jerking him off at the time. I said, could you please tell him, you know, not to air it? And we get back, oh, yeah, no problem. Next week, the commercial will not air. Guess what fucking aired last week, the following week? Do you think Mike Johnson ever removed? Yeah, no, no. There's this game. These journalists, when they feel like they might be able to rub elbows or maybe get a little opportunity, get a little bit of a rub, they feel like they're part of the MJF storyline. They feel like they're part of some of the other things going on. These people are killing AEW more than they are helping it grow. And people are starting to realize it. I never in a million years, when I said, look at the media scrum between Triple H and Tony Khan, look at the WWE scrum after Clash at the Castle and look at the AEW, and that's all you need to know about the promotions. One promotion, it feels like good vibes, positive, entertaining the fans, and the other one is, I won't sit back and fucking take it. Fuck. Hate. Anger. Bitterness, jealousy, paranoia. We did a Labor Day show last year, and now we're the third show on Labor Day weekend, and I'm not going to sit there and take it, and Jim Crockett and Sinet. I said it, I think, on Monday. If I could give any sincere advice for Tony Khan right now, is he should vanity search himself on social media or on just Google. Look at the last 12 months. And in chronological order, pay your secretary, pay an assistant, pay Jose, pay whoever you want. Let them gather all of your quotes over the last 12 months that has WWE in it. And the guy comes off as someone with multiple personality disorder. I don't want to use the B word because it pisses people off. Guy comes off as a whack job. One week, hey, you know, I would do a forbidden door with WWE. And then the following week, they're out to fucking kill us. They're out to do this and that. You know, and what happens is the news reporters give him sympathy, make him feel like what he's saying is true. Tony Khan is probably a man with on a desert island right now with Mega, whatever her name is. That's all he's got. I don't know tonight if that Jericho interview in the back was live or pre-recorded. If it was live, Jericho spoiled the result of Bryan Danielson versus Hangman Page. Someone said to me, hey, DT, I think it was pre-recorded. That means somebody in production aired it at the wrong time during Dynamite. If you watch Dynamite, you know what I'm talking about. So Tony Khan is in a horrible situation, but as I move on with this, and then we'll get into the brackets and what went down today, you know, understand that Tony Khan is at the mercy of some of the people that work within that company. And what happens if Tony Khan starts really laying down the gauntlet and says, look, this shit's got to stop. This shit's got to stop. We need to start doing this. We need to start doing that. You think these people are going to be like, yeah, boss. All right. Yeah. No. Yes. Absolutely. You know, I didn't see it that way. They're going to be like, all right, boss. Yeah, let's do that. Kenny Omega tells his locker room, I wouldn't hire 80% of you. Did you even hear that really written anywhere? That should be a front page. That should have been right up there with Hangman Page saying, I don't fucking listen to veterans. I don't want their advice. You know, I don't fucking seek out their advice. You know, that should be front page news. You're talking about an executive vice president, someone who is tremendously responsible. And then FTR is not in the video. Go, oh, no, but they're going to be bonus footage later. We kept them back because we're going to have people pay a little extra money to get them as an added character. You think we were fucking born yesterday? But all the journalists out there will write it as that way to help the narrative. And when Tony Khan, I'll leave you one last thing on the screen. I don't have the exact quote. But it blew away from it. Nobody bothered to even focus on it. When Tony Khan was talking about MJF at the scrum and he was talking about a few things, he made a little remark like, I got a little tricks up my sleeve. I got a couple of things, unique ways. And, you know, everybody just like let it go. You know, what you see going on online for the last 3 years is a lot of, they're not on the payroll. They're not on the payroll. You think a lot of these people that never went to journalist school, you think that they would only be on the payroll in order to fucking possibly get on the ins? No, they'll do whatever they can to feel like they're contributing and they're in some way. And maybe one day I could be hired. So now we have to crown new trios champions because EVPs, I don't know what the fuck they were thinking, but they fucked up. Tony Khan had no choice. If Tony Khan allowed these guys to just apologize to each other and move on, you know, remember, when MJF walked out, a lot of people thought it was storyline. A lot of people thought it was real. And Tony Khan, the biggest mistake, a while back is he will never lie to his wrestlers. He will never lie to the fans. You, sir, are in the goddamn entertainment business. So what are you going to do? You either got to keep your mouth shut and do no interviews, and not because if you are confronted with a question and you just use the no comment because, shit, I don't know how to fucking answer that because I'm trying to build a storyline that's going to happen 4 months from now at All Out in Chicago. So he just uses the no comment. What message did Tony Khan send his roster 5 months ago, whatever it was, when MJF no-showed a convention, was going to get on a plane and leave, almost didn't show that up at that pay-per-view, supposedly went on national TV and went into business for himself and said Tony Khan is a fucking mark, but somehow the censors with the 8-second delay just, you know, were sleeping at the time and didn't just, you know, cut his mic off. You know, come on. And it's all storyline. But what message did Tony Khan send to people out there that all this shit went down about MJF? He never said once, no one is bigger than AEW. MJF not only walked out of this company, he walked out on every wrestler who busts their ass in the back. He walked out on every fan that buys a ticket, every fan who believes in AEW. No one is bigger than AEW. No, he just gave no comment, and most of those journalists said, okay, Tony, we get the message. We'll leave it alone. And then tonight we get a voicemail. Hey, you know, I asked him to come back. Because he records a voicemail and they play it live, everybody's supposed to be like, yeah, it's actually true. Ridiculous, man. So now the Young Bucks and Kenny Omega have been stripped. CM Punk has been stripped. CM Punk, Kenny Omega, the Young Bucks are suspended. Pat Buck, Christopher Daniels, Michael Nakazawa, Brandon Cutler, all suspended as well. As a result, tonight on Dynamite, they crowned new Trios champions. What a fucking shame. What a shame what that motherfucker did to Malakai Black for almost his entire run, maybe with the exception of Cody. Tell me that if Malakai Black would have been utilized better, would have felt like everything, his creative and everything and the heart and soul he put into that character, if that motherfucker would have been mentally in a better place right now, tonight the House of Black would have been your Trios champions. And I'm not taking away from Pac and the Lucha Bros. I fucking love that team. We've been complaining about the way they've been used. How ridiculous is it that AEW's inept may have now forced him to do the right thing? Tonight, Pac and the Lucha Bros are your Trios champions. I think Brian Danielson is your next AEW world champion. For those that don't know, tonight we had the announcement. By the way, I don't know if all of you saw Dynamite. Tony Khan was on the screen, made the announcement. First of all, he should have done it pre-recorded. And if it was pre-recorded, please, Tony, hire some people in makeup. You know, I don't think you sweat that fucking bad. He's sweating. He looks a little bit disheveled. You know, he thinks, oh, let me just put a tie on him because my collar is you know, straight. You know, he looks disheveled. He doesn't look like he's comfortable. He came out there and he made an announcement and he got booed big time. The crowd there booed big time for Tony Khan. They popped for the announcement that tonight, we're getting a Trios. We're going to have new Trios champions. Yay, I'm live. I'm going to witness history. If they would have announced the tournament and the Trios champions would have been crowned 2 weeks from now, they would have booed that shit also. So tonight, they're in Buffalo, New York. Tony Khan announces that we're going to have a tournament to crown the next AEW world champion. Thank God it's not an interim. Thank fucking God with that. And also tonight, we're going to get new Trios champions. Now, here is the brackets. Oh, sorry. I went one step ahead. Fuck. Shit. That is my predictions. I think I might have went one step too fast. Do I have the actual brackets without my predictions? No, I don't. All right. Well, I could show you my predictions. They announced the brackets tonight to crown the next AEW world champion. And they're doing it like a tournament of champions. People who have held the title. Not everybody who has held the title, obviously, because there's obviously some notable names absent. They want the new champion to be crowned at Grand Slam in New York for obvious reasons. I am 100% behind that. So these are the brackets, and this was my predictions that I posted earlier. So today, we were getting Hangman Page versus Bryan Danielson, and on Friday's Rampage, we're getting Sammy Guevara versus Darby Allin. The winner of Page and Danielson goes on to face Jericho next week, and the winner of Darby Allin versus Sammy Guevara on Friday next week will take on Moxley. And then 2 weeks from now at Grand Slam, September 21st, the winner of Jericho versus the winner of Page and Danielson, which was Danielson, will take on the winner of Darby and Sammy and versus Moxley. And as you could see on your screen, this is my predictions. John Moxley tonight cut, in my honest opinion, the greatest promo of his career. John Moxley cut a very emotional promo when he came back from rehab. But tonight, John Moxley, not only explaining why being world champion is so important to him, but why that AEW championship has the value that it should have. John Moxley is your MVP for AEW 2022. Tonight was just the champagne toast. That guy cut one of the greatest promos in AEW history. It doesn't have to be controversial to be fucking awesome. You don't have to name drop other companies. You don't have to name drop names that are going to trigger a reaction. We don't have to hear about Owen Hart or other people. I'm not saying that we shouldn't. I fucking love Owen Hart. Tonight, he told everyone why that championship, you should give a shit about it, and why being world champion is as important as it is. Unfortunately, I don't think John Moxley should be the next AEW world champion. In my opinion, the only two people that should go to this final is Moxley and Danielson. And Bryan Danielson needs to be the next AEW world champion. I know y'all want to see MJF win it. A lot of people, absence makes the heart grow fonder. You know, a lot of people fucking, you know, sure, MJF trolled the fans tonight. They actually thought he was being a baby face. Well, we are part of New York, and he is from New York. So maybe he does think that our Buffalo quarterback is the greatest in New York history. It's MJF being MJF, you know. Remember the banner? Remember the billboard? I still have it somewhere. Yeah, we do deserve better. You know, the thing is, MJF, I fucking love that guy. He's reflected on my wall in the back, on the side, you know, because I rotate. But let's also remember, you know, because of creative and because of contract and because of other issues, MJF has not been a team player for quite some time. As much as I love MJF, and as much as I think it would be cool for MJF to be champion, that motherfucker is not the savior of AEW. What the fuck? What are you talking about? What are you talking about? Because he's a badass? Because he gives you old school vibes of Roddy Piper and Brian Pillman? I fucking love the guy. You know that as far as a character. But business-wise, right now, with all of the turmoil that is going on, and again, this has been building for 3 years. It's just a lot of journalists ignored it, twisted it, spinned it. If you call things out, do you notice that tweet that I talked about with the scrums and talked about? Did you see anybody in the news world that might not be like one of them? Did you see any of them respond back and like, yeah, you know, that is kind of fucked up? Everybody ignored it. Thousands of people loved it. Every person in the news world ignored it because they know what is going on. They helped build this disaster that has now come to a head. You got the biggest face in your company, I'm not saying baby fat, biggest person in CM Punk, biggest draw, biggest moneymaker for them, CM Punk is their guy. Don't give me injury as a cop-out. They had the biggest name. They got the biggest guy that they could have ever gotten in that company to come back, and look what it's turned into. Look at all the politics that has been going on for the last 8 months, especially. When CM Punk first came in, there was dissension. The problem is nobody paid attention to it. There was little blips and blurbs in the news world that not everybody is happy that CM Punk is signed with the company. Not everybody is happy that Tony Khan is now going to shift in this direction. Not everybody felt that there was positive. But because it is a big name, it is a big grab, and because AEW is still growing, people, for the betterment of the business, accepted it. It was only when contracts started coming up and AEW started downsizing and started getting rid of some of the people that were not necessary, and they were well-liked by EVPs. That's when the politics started happening. So right now, with everything coming to a head, Bryan Danielson is class personified, beloved, respected. I don't know anybody that hates Bryan Danielson or thinks that he's a douchebag. That is who you need to represent. Not look, as much as I love Moxley, Bryan Danielson is your guy to be the leader of that company if he wants it. If he wants it. Moxley, absolutely, but Danielson is the way to go right now. And when people like, oh, well, MJF will take the title from Danielson, you know, fuck storylines right now. Fuck the fact that, you know, the biggest badass, the biggest heel in AEW returned. There are more problems. There are huge problems that need to be addressed right now. You can't, listen, we'll move on, but one last thing I want to say about this. I watched people tonight saying, tonight's episode of Dynamite is going to be amazing. Can't wait to see what rating it gets. Let me tell you something, boys and girls. You do not want to pop a rating because you want to see the aftermath of things totally blowing up in your face. You do not want to feel that this is one of the biggest episodes of Dynamite history because people fucked up. That is like, that's, you know what that is? That's that Big E GIF file, you know, where he's eating the popcorn and this and that. Those are people out there that don't give a fuck about the stability of AEW. They don't give a fuck about the fact that the foundations in AEW is severely cracked. They just think it's good, just good shit, damn it. It's good shit. You can't focus on those people because those people are the ones that are damaging AEW. And now AEW is damaged and it's all coming out. And they think they have the solutions. So, we have the tournament today. And as I said earlier, for those that don't know what I was talking about with Jericho, before Bryan Danielson and Hangman Page had their match tonight, and I think Jericho expected it to be an event, Dynamite. I understand Daniel Garcia is in Buffalo. And I understand that's his hometown. But they chose to go with Wheeler Utah versus Daniel Garcia to close out Dynamite tonight. No disrespect intended whatsoever. But I was in here preparing for the show and I was listening to the background because, honestly, that promotion, Ring of Honor, whether you love it, obsessed with it, hate it, hope it, that promotion is still dead. Just because you have titles being defended on another product's TV show does not mean that Ring of Honor is alive and well and still around. It's, how do you close out Dynamite with that? You should have closed out with Bryan Danielson and Hangman Page, big boys, someone who could represent. No, because we want that special moment with Daniel Garcia and streamers and handshake with and Jericho looking befuddled. Why is Bryan Danielson shaking Daniel Garcia? You pay attention to the crowd. Yeah, Buffalo may have popped big for it, but 99% of the rest of the world is like, why are we getting Wheeler Yuta Michinoku and Daniel Garcia to close out Dynamite? Should be Hangman. Make your goddamn world title feel like something. Ring of Honor closing out the shows more than you realize. AEW world title. Your biggest fucking guy. You just took the title away from him and he might be gone from the company for all we know. And to try to make damage control and maybe just put the shift on Bryan Danielson, you know, this is the guy. This is the guy who it should have been. No, you make it the beginning of hour two because it's going to pop a big rating. Not everybody, because we're afraid that if Wheeler Yuta and Daniel Garcia begin hour two, that some people may turn the TV channel and never turn back for the main event. That is a huge problem that Tony Khan does as well. That's Tony Khan, the lifelong Ring of Honor fan. The guy that fantasy booked all the Ring of Honor stuff. That's the guy. On Rampage, did it feel like Darby Allin and Sammy Guevara? I will bet you, maybe I'm wrong, but I will bet you that Sammy Guevara and Darby Allin does not main event Rampage, that it's going to be Claudio Castagnoli versus Dax Harwood because Claudio is defending the Ring of Honor World Championship. Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe I'm wrong. So tonight, Jericho, if it was live, he fucked up. If it was pre-recorded, AEW's production fucked up. Before Bryan Danielson and Hangman Page had their match to determine who goes forward in this tournament, Jericho's cutting a promo. He's got Sammy and Ty and Anna Jay there as well. He's talking about his win over Danielson. He's talking about the match later on with Yuta and Daniel Garcia. And then he just blurs out that he beat Bryan Danielson before and he's going to beat him again. Never mentioned anything about Hangman Page. So everybody watched that and said, wait a minute. Did Chris Jericho just give away the result of Hangman Page versus Bryan Danielson? Now, let's be honest. There was no way Hangman Page was advancing in this tournament. Hangman Page, if he would have advanced, it would have sent a message that whether you, even if it was not intended that way, that the EVPs still have full power. You know, their guy goes to the next round. Not Bryan Danielson, who's more of a CM Punk guy than anything else. So I didn't think there was any doubt that Danielson was going to advance. But Jericho doing that, a little bit of a mistake. So MJF, he returns to Dynamite tonight. Still a fucking shame that he was overshadowed from All Out for the most part because of what went down on the scrum. And, you know, I will say a couple other things. Where was Hangman Page when all this was going on backstage? You know, was he feeding his horse? Maybe he really did leave the building and went back to the hotel. I don't know. But I found it interesting that of everything that went on, Hangman Page never confronted CM Punk for what he said. You know, everybody else did, but Hangman Page's name was absent. That's one thing I noticed. Another thing I noticed was, yeah, Monday morning quarterbacking. Tony Khan, immediately after CM Punk said what he said, should have had the smarts that, holy fucking shit, I could only imagine how the Young Bucks and Kenny Omega and Hangman Page are reacting right now in the back. Maybe I should go pretend like I have to go pee-pee and let Keith Lee stay on the stage by himself or Tony Storm or someone else. Say, listen, guys, I got to go take a pee. I got to go to the bathroom. I'll be back. And then Tony Khan should have went in the back and pulled those guys aside and said, listen, please, let's cool down. Don't confront them. We'll worry about it tomorrow. Or we'll worry about it after the scrum. That motherfucker sat there with Jericho, with Keith Lee, with Tony Storm, didn't have the smarts to get up, get in the back, and stop it before it exploded. That was number two. And then number three, I was like, please, let's not get another interim champion. At least we're not getting an interim champion. CM Punk is no longer the champion. So All right, so MJF overshadowed because of all this mess. MJF comes out tonight. He's wearing a Buffalo Bills jersey. Everybody is going nuts. He's acting like a baby face. I love Buffalo. Come on, guys. I never leave AEW. He's talking about becoming world champion. He's talking about how he doesn't need to be in the tournament because he's got the chip. He's got the chip. Well, you know, did MJF ever hold the championship in AEW? Guys, did he ever hold the championship? I don't, if he didn't, he wouldn't have been in the tournament anyway because it's a tournament of champions. I don't recall him ever being a tag team champion. He had the ring. No, he never had a title, so he wouldn't have been in the tournament anyway. But he's cutting a promo and saying, I don't need to be in a tournament. I have this chip which guarantees me a title shot anytime I want. He wouldn't have been in the tournament anyway. But he cuts his promo, and he's acting like a babyface, and everybody is falling for it. Moxley's music hits. Moxley comes out, and Moxley tells MJF, you're full of shit. And the fans kind of like a little bit booing to Moxley, not in droves, but booing like, hey, Mox, no, he's not full of shit. He's back. We're happy. He's kind of like, you know, babyface now. He's our savior, damn it. And then MJF reveals, yeah, no, I am being an asshole. In fact, you know what? I want to be world champion because I could use that as a bargaining chip. MJF pulled the Shane Douglas. MJF actually name-dropped Triple H. He name-dropped Nick Khan. He said, now do you realize why what MJF said many months ago was a storyline? Because tonight MJF said all that shit again about Tony Khan. He actually name-dropped going to WWE. He mentioned Triple H's name and said it's best for business. He said that he could use this so he could go and work with Cody Rhodes, actually name-drop Cody Rhodes. You listen to MJF's promo tonight, and you're going to say to me that what he said months ago was a shoot, and Tony Khan had no idea he was going to get the fuck out of here. What he did tonight was 10 times worse. You think Tony Khan, and where in that voicemail is like, you could walk all over me. You could fucking step on my face. You could put a heel in my face. And you could call me Snitsky. You could fucking shit on anybody you want. Say whatever you call me. I'm a mark, damn it. I'm a mark. Abuse me, bitch. Abuse me. Come on. MJF playing. That was what Shane Douglas used to do in ECW. They would name drop teasing that they would go to the competitor. You remember Scott Steiner? Remember Scott Steiner when he got in trouble with WCW? That he'd rather change the channel and look at Austin because WCW sucks. That's what this was tonight. I loved it. I loved every minute of what MJF did tonight. But I hope you realize now that what MJF did months ago was the same thing that he did tonight. It just feels different. It just feels different because some people think that Tony worked out a deal to bring him back. You know, the focus was away from MJF for quite some time. And I'm sure that there was some renegotiations, no question. MJF legitimately was very upset about his pay grade after 2 years and his name being worth a lot more now than what it was 2 years ago. So, you know, but let's keep it in perspective. Tonight was all storyline. And Moxley, you know, telling MJF, leave the fucking ring now before I beat the fuck out of it. That was Brian Pillman and Shane Douglas tonight. Remember the comparisons I made to that moment? What was it? CyberSlam 96? Remember when Pillman showed up and Shane Douglas, he's shooting! He's shooting! That's what that was tonight. That was Pillman and Douglas all over again. Totally loved it. I loved it. I loved it. No problems with it whatsoever. And then Moxley cuts that amazing promo. If you're not an AEW fan, tune... Just seek out what Moxley's promo was because that's the definition of what a world champion should be and why a world title should mean the way. And look, maybe it was shots at CM Punk. Maybe it was indirect shots like, look, I give a shit about this fucking title. I'm the title and the company is bigger than me and everyone else. You know, and that's great. That's great. I would love their owner to make us feel that way as well. So, all right. So Moxley, you know, setting up the tournament, putting over some of the guys that are in the tournament. Death Triangle win the Trios Championship over Best Friends. We had a cameo from Danhausen. So once again, someone's testicles getting violated tonight. This time it was Jose, the assistant. Oh, excuse me. No, it was Alex Abrahantes. Once again, back is the incredible Ryan Manimal. No, once again, we get an awesome moment followed by Dark Order, Andrade, Jose de Ascensant nonsense. Right after this fucking trios match, we get another backstage. So you think they would have learned from last week. We get another segment where Andrade wants him, and he don't want to sign. Why is this airing? Why is this airing? We got it again. More stupidity. We saw the teasing of Jamie Hayter, Britt Baker, falling out because of what happened with the women's match at All Out. Toni Storm retaining the interim championship, beating Penelope Ford today. In 2 weeks at Grand Slam, we're going to have Action Bronson, who is a rapper, and I think he also cooks pretty well. He's going to team up with Hook, take on Matt Menard and Angelo Parker. That is going to be more of a comedy match. You know, if you don't know who Action Bronson is, you go look him up. You know, here in this neck of the world, you know, he's a pretty popular name. You know, not a household name, but still pretty popular. I have no issues with him. I don't know if Keith Lee is turning heel. Swerve Strickland sure turned heel tonight. We all thought Max Caster was going to be cutting an incredible rap tonight. Who would have ever thought that Max Caster ended up with not rap tonight, but we get West Side Gun? I listened to that. Now, I'm not into today's rap like I used to be. You know, I'm the old school guy. Hip hop, the hibbit, the hibbit, the hip, hip hop. You don't stop rocking to the bang, to the boogie, up to the boogie, to the rhythm of the boogie, the beat. This West Side Gun, 5 minutes of noise. We couldn't get Max Caster 2-3 lines. He gets interrupted by Swerve Strickland. He's getting asshole chants from the crowd. The Acclaimed need to win those tag titles in 2 weeks. I think they do. I really think they do. I hope to God they have more than a meaningful run that Jungle Boy and Luchasaurus had. I really think that is going down. Before Max could rap, Strickland comes out, interrupts him, gets the asshole chance. He's like, hey, everyone, you want to hear a joke? Guys, you want to hear a joke, everyone? The Acclaimed as tag team champions. He thinks it's a joke. Keith Lee is nowhere to be found. On social media tonight, Keith Lee is like, I walk away for 5 minutes and look what happened. I think Keith Lee and Swerve Strickland will be splitting up sooner than later. I expect to see some backstage antics where Keith Lee is like, why are you talking like this? We should focus more. They're splitting. I think the Acclaimed are going to get those tag titles. So we never get the Max Caster rep. I didn't hear about him cutting one during the commercial break. Once the music hit, I was like, talk. We're listening to your theme song. Talk. You got the mic in your hand still. Go, do it. Listen. Now they go to commercial. We get nothing. Jericho Appreciation Society cutting their promo. They don't like turtles. Sammy Guevara thinks that Darby's a turtle. He's going to beat him Friday. Jericho can't wait to beat Bryan Danielson again. But Bryan Danielson didn't have his match yet with Hangman Page. He ends up having his match. And by the way, I pointed it out today again. Nobody's talking about it because nobody wants you to think about this. Once again, William Regal absent during a Blackpool loss. Do you remember about 6 weeks ago, Regal was on earlier in the night, and then after, I think, a Moxley match, he's like, thank you and good night. And we were like, wait a minute, why is he not going to be around for the main event? Oh, somebody's losing. Tony Khan doesn't want William Regal on commentary and have to remark about a loss. So tonight we get Wheeler Michinoku defending the Ring of Honor Pure Championship against Daniel Garcia. And guess what? William Regal is not on commentary again. Can you guess who is going to win that? Listen! Nobody even brought it up. Nobody. Wardlow beats Tony Nese. Quick order to retain the tie. I thought Morrissey was coming out, but it was just the only problem I had with Wardlow is because after he won, he gets on the mic and he's sending a message to the locker room, which he's sent about five times already, and we get it. You're calling everybody out, you know, just say, I want more competition. But he's doing something. This is the third time he's doing it, and it's really starting to come off stupid. He goes and cuts a promo today. He's like, yo, there's this thing going around on social media that Wardlow doesn't have it anymore. What? Who? You know, this is his go-to now. Yo, there's this, no, people online are saying that, yo, but I'm here and I'm going to, nobody's fucking saying that. And it's coming off goofy because it's the third time that Wardlow's cutting the same exact promo. There's nobody online doing that. Maybe Tony Nese, you know, trying to build the storyline. So that I kind of thought was a little bit cheesy. Stokely Hathaway beating up the stunt double of Michael Nakazawa. You know, some guy comes out and he's in production and Stokely is with his entourage and he's cutting a promo and this guy comes out and he's like, hey, you know, we're short for time tonight. So Stokely beats him, hits him over the head. We get Morrissey and the entourage beat the fuck out of this production guy, you know, to add a little bit of heat. What I don't understand is, you know, yeah, Stokely gave the chip to MJF. Why did they not have Stokely around MJF earlier? Why didn't they use a more concerted, concise, you know, explanation as to why they're suddenly distanced tonight? I don't know if anybody even thought about that, but that was the first thing that I thought about tonight. So Stokely and the entourage beats up the Michael Nakazawa stunt double. We get backstage recap of Jungle Boy and Christian. Don't know why Luchasaurus wasn't the topic of conversation. You know, as far as a follow from All Out, I thought it was very... it was lacking tonight. You would have thought that Sunday there was just a media scrum and not necessarily an actual entire main event, you know, like a pay-per-view with 15 matches on it. You know, you had a couple of highlights, but it sure did not feel that way. And the main event, Daniel Garcia beats Wheeler Yuta. You know, decent match from what I heard. Sorry, nothing personal, but that's not my, you know, I got to watch that 9:55 p.m. type of match. It was decent. I love Daniel Garcia. He is going to be a future star. You could see it. I think Wheeler Yuta is a little bit too, you know, inflated, in my opinion. He's not a bad character, but since he shot that blood like a bad ninja 70s TV film, you know, I just, they try to make him out. He looks like Maven with Evolution. If, and I've said this before, if Daniel Garcia joins the Blackpool Combat Club, then I'm fine. Have Wheeler Yuta, Daniel Garcia as a tag team. That I'm fine with. And speaking of Blackpool, if we have Moxley and Danielson fighting for the championship, the battle of the Blackpool Combat Club members, William Regal, torn. Who does he root for? What does he do? I mean... so there's nice little dynamics there that I think would be good. It would be good. So, on Friday for Rampage, we're getting Claudio versus Dax for the Ring of Honor Championship, like I said. We're getting Serena Deeb versus Madison Rayne. Okay, that's good. That's good. Darby Allin versus Sammy Guevara. Samoa Joe will be talking. He'll be talking Friday. Let me guess, is he going to be confronted by Satnam Singh and Jay Lethal and Sunjay Dutt? I think so. In 2 weeks, we will have Swerve Strickland and Keith Lee versus the Acclaim for the tag titles. Action Bronson and Hook going to team up, you know, take on Menard and Parker. And then next week, we have Moxley versus the winner of Darby and Sammy. And next week, we have Jericho versus Danielson. I think Danielson obviously gets his win back, especially after what just went down at All In. So, be interesting to see what they were going to do with Danielson next if nothing would have gone down this weekend at All Out. So, just want to briefly get into two things with NXT, three things actually, a couple of shout-outs. I know some of you were very generous with your super chats. I will definitely acknowledge you in a couple of moments, and then we'll get out of here because I am in 48 hours. I'm going to be in Florida, and it's, you know, I'm looking forward to it. I mean, you know, I did get married a couple of days ago. It was awesome. So, and I thank you all for the congratulatories. It meant a lot. Big shout out to the usual people that, you know, just couldn't, you know, even send one. I don't ask for congratulatories, but man, I am shocked at how many people are so angry with yours truly that, you know, even something like, you know, having getting married pisses them off, that, you know, no, awful. By the way, by tomorrow, I should know if I'm going to NXT next week. NXT next week is the one-year celebration of NXT 2.0. And they're going to have this little celebration next week. And if I end up going to NXT, I hope to take a picture with the Don of NXT. Hey, how you doing, Tony D'Angelo? You know, I don't fucking bite. You know, you could take a picture with the Don. We'll see what happens, everyone. We'll see what happens. There's still COVID protocol, even though, you know, it is what it is now. But I'll let you all know by tomorrow night, probably, if I'm going to be going to NXT next week. And guess what? If I do go, I'll be in the crowd. And maybe I'll get to meet some of you motherfuckers that live in Florida. So that's next week. Now, early word is that Doudrop does have a broken nose. Yesterday, she and Nikki A.S.H. beat Gigi Dolan and J.C. Jane. J.C. Jane, unfortunately, with, a strike to Doudrop, and you heard it. And, yeah, her nose was pretty fucked up afterwards. So, you know, I think Doudrop and Nikki A.S.H. are going to win those tag titles. I think it could very well happen. You know, it's cool that they're working double duty right now, but we can't have mixed messages either. You can't have them win in NXT and lose on the main roster. Yeah, I think that's really, it's sending mixed messages. How do you build momentum? How do you build momentum if on Monday they lose and on Tuesday they win? You know, that makes you feel like, you know, like somebody who plays a video game that could win on rookie mode but can't win on the next level up. You know, I think we need a little bit of consistency now for Nikki A.S.H. and Doudrop. Either just have them lose and help build some other stars, or have them win and let them build a few wins, in my opinion. J.D. McDonough over Wes Lee. You know, don't be surprised. Don't be surprised if Wes Lee's former tag partner, Nash Carter, makes his return. You know, what happened with that Nazi picture is fucked up. That was many, many years ago. And there is nothing that makes anybody believe that that guy remotely has any nefarious intentions. In fact, that motherfucker went out of his way to understand why that offended so many people. There's a lot that you don't know that Nash Carter did. And trust me, he didn't do that because it would be good for PR. That guy legitimately, you know, was torn about what happened. I'm telling you, Nash Carter is going to return. They're going to reform MSK. You watch. Some website soon is going to be like, exclusive breaking news. WWE is interested in bringing back Nash Carter. You watch. Everybody else that we said, it's now starting to happen. And we got Braun. this past week as well. Michael Satomura over Roxanne Perez. After the match, Cora Jade attacks Roxanne. Michael, you know, makes the save. We'll probably get Cora Jade versus Michael Satomura next week. Well, it'd be cool if I get to actually see her up close and personal. I am a fan of Satomura big time. Ricochet over Trick Williams, which was a decent match. There is buzz that Ricochet may actually dethrone Carmelo Hayes for that North American Championship. Axiom beats Nathan Frazier for match one in the best out of three. In the main event, Bron Breakker and Tyler Bate over Mark and Joe Coffey. After the match was over, JD McDonough shows up, and they might be leading to a three-way of Bate, McDonough, Breakker in the near future. You might see, you know, something backfire with Bate and Breakker, and then they'll have a little dissension, and it may lead to a three-way. So, so with that said, you know, we are going to start bringing this home because, we got into everything that we needed to talk about with what went down this week. Again, it's terrible to see, you know, how some of the media are trying to still spin this. And let me tell you something, you know, CM Punk right now is public enemy number one. He is public. He is a threat. He is a threat to the culture and the foundation of what AEW is behind the scenes. Listen, Cody Rhodes did not gamble and negotiate for less and leave because AEW was a sinking ship or anything. That's just not true. But when you started hearing, remember before there was anything about contract, you remember you were hearing that there was issues with the Cody Rhodes camp and Kenny Omega, that there was a lot, you know, that they were not even on speaking terms anymore. There was a big clash there. And Cody is more old school because of his dad and because of, you know, his roots in wrestling. And Cody is more about tradition and veterans and respecting the people who pave your way. And like I said the other day, Hangman Page does not have to take advice from veterans. No one who is a wrestler of this young generation, no one is required to take advice from veterans. But understand that even if you flat out, totally, wholeheartedly disagree with their mindset, viewpoint, everything that they are about wrestling, there is a respect factor. You know, I brought it up when I started doing little things on the indie side of wrestling. Yeah, I was awful. But one thing that the first thing that I was taught is etiquette. You go to an indie wrestling event. The first time I ever made a debut on camera, I actually brought out Abdullah the Butcher to destroy lowlife Luis Ramos. And I'm in the back. How you doing, Abdullah? You know, Anthony, you know, how's it going? Oh, so-and-so, nice to meet you. Anthony, how you doing? And that's what you did. You walked up to everyone and you shook their hand and you introduced yourself, even if you were the lowest of the low on the food chain. You showed respect. And if you have a veteran in front of you, you know, act like you give a shit. It, you know, be respectful. You don't have to listen to anything that they said, but you don't go out there and say, I don't take it back. I don't listen. Yesterday's generation is outdated and old news and, you know, they don't mean shit. You know, that is just disrespect, period. And there's a lot of people that act that way. That's why there is let me tell you, CM Punk is probably AEW's biggest problem because of the foundation of what AEW is. I truly believe that when Cody's contract came up, he bit his tongue, kept his mouth shut, and said, look, I'm a professional. I don't give a shit how I feel. I don't care how fucked up this situation is. I got to think about what my dad would have done. I got to think about what so-and-so would have done. And I got to do the same thing. And he left. And he didn't say anything bad. He roots for everyone. And, you know, that's the way it ended. People expected juicy gossip, this and that. I think Cody saw it and said, look, if I get a better opportunity somewhere else, I'm out of here. I'm out of here. And, you know, the interesting thing is, let's be honest, everyone. You think about everything that, even if you're a huge fan of Hangman Page, Do you think Hangman Page would fit in well in a WWE locker room? I'm not so sure. And I like the guy. He's extremely talented. He's championship material. But I don't know if he is a team player like that. You know, you don't want AEW at the same time to be Land of the Woke. You don't want it to be Land of the Woke because, listen, like I said earlier, and no one is really going to report it unless they think that they can put it as an exclusive scoop. There are quite a few people within AEW that are very, very happy with what CM Punk did. They do feel that it was fucked up, but they were smiling. There's a lot of people within AEW that were smiling at what CM Punk did. CM Punk truly was the voice of the voiceless that feel that, you know, the climate of AEW and some of the people behind the scenes that have power, that's not what's best for business. So, all right. Want to give a shout out to Stoned Mexican Guy. Congratulations on the way. Thank you very much, my friend. I really do appreciate that. Much love. I hope you enjoyed tonight's show. I hope you're doing well. Thank you very much, my friend. Liam Savage, thank you for the well wishes as well. He would have sent a DM. Didn't know if I would see it. Regarding the Punk situation, it goes to show there is still some mystery and what's kayfabe and what's real. Look, I saw some people trying to throw it in my face, like, DT, you say blurred lines. This is not blurred lines. Not every fucking thing behind the scenes is fake. Storyline, I should say. Not everything behind the scenes is a legit situation, and not everything is just lines blurred. You have to be smart enough to figure out, okay, the stuff with MJF is storyline. You see the promos tonight and what he said. If it was sacrilegious and absolutely unforgivable 3 months ago, why is it suddenly so forgivable now? It was the same thing. You know, you have to use your smarts to say, okay, all right, I could see that. This, though, and this, what happened was very, very real. See, when some people said Sunday night that this might be part storyline with CM Punk, those are the people that won't spend the time to see what Nick Houseman wrote, said at Death Before Dishonor, that won't look at what the websites all wrote for the last 6 months, accusing CM Punk of pulling strings, pulling his power to get Colt Cabana demoted to Ring of Honor. You know, they don't see or pay attention to all of that stuff. To them, it's just, let me grab popcorn and be titillated by it. If I was CM Punk, to see all these news journalists doing that shit, I'd be fucking angry as well. When he said to Dave Meltzer, you know, what did I ever do, Dave? What did I ever do? You know, nothing against Dave, but did Dave, you know, say, well, you know, Punk, you know, not for nothing, you know, you're criticizing this person, but aren't you kind of like doing it? No, they all keep quiet. They all keep quiet. You know, I'm not saying that Meltzer was guilty of any of this stuff, but the point is that everybody plays the naive card. Oh, I'm not really, I don't really see Colt Cabana anymore. Yeah, yeah. And, you know, two months earlier, you see what goes down. Try to make people aware, even if it's not sexy. King Games 405. What do I think Tony Khan ultimately does with CM Punk? That is a really good question. Not because you super chatted. You can't just look at this as a fan of the Young Bucks. You can't just look at it as CM Punk. Didn't we just have this convo like a month ago? That why do people, when he cut the promo on Hangman Page, when he called him out, you know, when he wasn't supposed to come out there and wrestle, people were like, I'm like, this is Punk being Punk. This is what CM Punk's been doing his whole career. The thing is, it's really going to depend on what the other people within AEW feel should be done with Punk. Tony Khan is at the mercy of the people that he has surrounded himself with. I mean, in my honest opinion, and I'm not saying this to be funny, I think in Tony Khan's eyes, CM Punk is how I feel about Terry Funk. CM Punk is one of Tony Khan's greatest all-time favorite wrestlers. He might have this fetish with CM. This might be his fantasy. You know, we all have fantasy promotions. If you could start your own promotion right now, who would be your guy? Imagine actually starting your own promotion. You get the guy that you always wanted. So that fandomhood that Tony Khan has will always get in the way. Tony Khan is the one with money. Tony Khan puts his fandomhood. You could see it with all the Ring of Honor stuff that plays favoritism over AEW's own titles and stuff, which we've beat to death. So I think at the end of the day, Tony Khan wants CM Punk to stay. Tony Khan knows CM Punk is his biggest draw in that company. Tony Khan knows that there are major problems in that company. I think in a perfect world, I think Tony Khan has the Young Bucks and Kenny Omega and Hangman Page and CM Punk and a bunch of others all get in a room and say, look, we got to get together for the benefit of AEW. You know, we got to, and I think in a perfect world, I think that's what Tony Khan would want. If CM Punk is gone from AEW, I think that is a huge mistake. Look, I've been blocked from CM Punk for years. I pointed this out on Patreon yesterday. Remember that documentary that they did for CM Punk before he had that MMA match? You know, the producers of that show contacted me directly and said, we want to use a couple of clips from your Don Tony and Kevin Castle show because we had a lot of discussions about CM Punk. We've had some very deep ones where I got blocked from him as a result. And they said, we have three clips in particular. We could only use one because of time constraints. And they said to me, they said, you pick which clip you would like on that show. And me, I'm such an asshole. The clip that I gave those producers for CM Punk's documentary, I gave them the clip where I said five words and my co-host said about 90. It wasn't about my voice being out there. It was about the point that was trying to be made. And I'm not the biggest fan or supporter of CM Punk, never was, but I personally think what's been going on, if you've paid attention the last 3 years, you know that sooner or later, this was going to happen. Look, I brought up Bubba Ray Dudley, Bully Ray. Anybody that goes back with me years knows. 10 years ago, Bully Ray, called me out and told me, invited me to Florida to confront me in the middle of the ring to address all of the shit that I was saying on my shows about TNA. Back then, I used to rip the fuck out of TNA, where at that time there were two podcasts that TNA told all their wrestlers, under no circumstances do you ever do interviews, and Don Tony Kim and Castle show was one of those two. I don't take pride in it. I look back on it in embarrassment in a lot of ways of the way I acted. You know, I listen back and I'm like, wow, I really said some of that stuff. You know, maybe because I get older, you know, you change your views, you know, whatever. I don't regret anything I ever said, but the point is this. At that time, he was so angry about what I said, it got to a point where people wanted to confront me about it. And that was a turning point for me because I said to myself, I don't want to not be able to go to wrestling conventions because I have to fear that somebody's going to confront me. You know, when that guy Slash fucked me over with XPW, Bam Bam Bigelow, God rest his soul, called the Mass Maniac up when they were at Cyberspace event, NWA in New Jersey. Bam Bam Bigelow, in the middle of the show, called up Frank Goodman. He's still alive, Frank. Ask him if you think I'm lying. The Mass Maniac. Bam Bam Bigelow called him up and said, hey, let your friend de Blasio know that Slash is at the event right now if he wants to come down there and kick his ass. Because I was trying to find Slash for a very long time. And then I was getting ready to go there, and then somebody let Slash know. You know, I think probably Bam Bam probably took both sides of it, and he fucking disappeared. But I didn't want to be one of those that I couldn't go to a convention because some people hated the things I said so much. Did I think that Bully Ray was going to really punch me out? No, I don't think so. I think he would have embarrassed the shit out of me. But I don't want to be one of those that I can't go to an event that I can't go backstage, that I can't work an event, that I can't cover an event because I pissed off some people so much that I have to worry that somebody's going to look at that. That's the fat fuck that used to say all that shit about that motherfucker. I didn't want to be that person. And for the last 3 years, there have been a lot of people that have been doing that shit towards people. And for the last 6 months, CM Punk has been that one. And CM Punk, Sunday was the first opportunity that said, this motherfucker, you know, won't let things go. Look what he said at Death Before Dishonor. Bringing up that, you know, is it true that he was demoted to Ring of Honor to distance? Sunday was the first opportunity where he was like, okay, now I'm going to confront that motherfucker. And I'm going to do it live on a media scrum when I just won the goddamn heavyweight title to show everyone how much it pisses me off. And then when CM Punk finished the whole scrum and said, hey, you media, do better. It's not the first time he said it. He said it a couple of weeks ago. Do better. Nobody does better. When they fucked up about Keith Lee a year and a half ago, when people were like, oh, he was pulled from Elimination Chamber because they have nothing for him. Vince McMahon has fallen out of love with Keith Lee. But meanwhile, Keith Lee was on his deathbed fighting for his life. And then everybody found out about it. And they're like, oh. And then Mia Yim goes on social media and say, can we do a little better from now on? It took 2 weeks. And then people immediately started doing the same fucked up shit towards others. Nobody does better. You see people kill themselves, depression, bullying, this, this, and that. Oh, we can do better. Then what happens? When it wears off, it's right back, cancel culture, bullying, you know, mob mentality. Nobody does better. Some people do better, but as far as the media does, they don't do better. And tonight, they almost started it with Thunder Rosa. Good for Alvarez and Meltzer to kill that rumor quickly. Because Thunder Rosa would have been the next one. Because they didn't listen when she went on Busted Open 2 weeks ago and talked about, you know, the herniated disc and all the other stuff going on. Did you see what people said in the last 10 days? Oh, they're just giving her time off because, you know, she's not happy right now. Sure, it didn't get that much attention, but people are just saying whatever the fuck they want because they want hits. And meanwhile, these wrestlers are sitting there and taking it and taking it and taking it. And they could say till they're blue in their face, you know, if you have a problem, reach out to me. You know, please, people, do better. We got to, and nobody does better. That's why, like I said before, and I'll say it now, and then we'll start wrapping this up. When you see these people making these claims, take note that they never, ever write. We reached out for Thunder Rosa for a comment, and she refused. We asked CM Punk if the, did you ever see Colt Cabana in the last, I like Colt Cabana. Did Colt Cabana in the last 8 months, 6 months, ever go online and say, listen, everybody, I know some of you out there, you know, look out for me, but please, you got to stop spreading around that CM Punk is having me shifted to Ring of Honor because of our history together. Did that motherfucker ever, ever, ever try to defuse that situation? As far as I know, no. So when you see all this shit floating around and developing, don't be surprised when you see what happened at All Out. CM Punk just has the big enough balls to do that because most people are not in the position of CM Punk. CM Punk don't give a fuck. He's made his career and his money. He don't give a fuck. Other people out there will put their tail between their legs because I'm going to get a push because I need this job because I need the money. Because I need the, you know, the, and that, those are good reasons. But don't act surprised when shit blows up sooner or later. You know, you light a wick and you sit back and you're just watching it burn and burn. And sooner or later, the wick is going to run out and something's going to explode. And they're, oh, I had no idea. KD, man, KD, I got to send you a little gift. Once we come back, and you didn't have to do that, my friend, sent another 100 spot. Where are you getting this money? Where are you getting this? Much love, my friend. His issue with Mr. Khan is best said from a line from the movie Working Girl with Melanie Griffith. Her bestie, Joan Cusack, said to her, sometimes I sing and dance in my underwear. Doesn't make me a Madonna. She says a Madonna, not Madonna like Tony Khan is not a boss. I get what you're saying. I know some people out there won't get it at first, but let that sink in. Sometimes I sing in my dance in my underwear. That doesn't make me Madonna. Just because Tony Khan owns a wrestling company, you know, it doesn't mean that he has all the default accolades of being what the others are. You know, that's why I think, if you notice, Tony Khan makes himself available on interviews, usually after Dynamite or Rampage pops a big number. Dynamite goes over a million, you'll see he does an interview a few days later, and he'll always put in there, we just broke a million, for 6 weeks in a row, we were this and that. Then when the numbers go down, you know, he disappears, or he'll just show up on a little bit of Busted Open, and that's it. But 2 weeks later, WWE's out to get me. Oh, I like, you know, they did like this, and, you know, these people had knocked it off, and a contract tearing. What happened to the bots? What happened to the bot story? All media gave him a pass on that. Remember that he had all these people researching about bots and all that stuff? You look back on it, and you realize there is a paranoia with him. There is a paranoia. He just sat there. And I think it was Jim Cornette that brought this up this weekend. You go back and you watch CM Punk say everything that he said. Focus on Tony Khan. And he's nodding. And I think it was Disco Inferno that also said that it looked like a nervous nod. But if you go back and you watch that, I don't think Tony Khan was agreeing that what CM Punk was saying. But that guy just looked like a deer in headlights. And he should, like I said, he should have had the wherewithal to think in the back of his mind, oh, fuck. The Young Bucks must be waiting at the door to go after this guy. He should have made every excuse in the book. Oof, I ate tacos today. I got to listen, guys, gals. Tony Storm's going to come out next. I'm going to go use the men's room for a few minutes. Or, you know, in 2022, I'm going to use the unisex bathroom for a few minutes. You go in the back, you go right up to the Young Bucks and Kenny Omega, please, I know, just for the sake of the company and for the sake of everything, please, just let me finish the scrum and then we'll talk. I should have done that. Instead, he just sat there. So Tony Khan, I think he'll do better with years. The problem is some of the people he has behind the scenes, he's at the mercy of. I joked about it yesterday. What are you going to do? Put Evil Uno in the place of Kenny Omega? You know, you think you're going to get a monster and replace some of these guys? He should have never put active wrestlers in the positions that they were in, because they are not only dictating a lot of what you see on TV, they're dictating a lot of what you don't see on TV. Tony Khan sits there. Some people think Tony Khan has too much on his plate with the Jaguars and other things. But, you know, it's a huge problem. But you are right. Tony Khan, I disagree with you, though. Tony Khan is a boss. I think Tony Khan, overall, he's learning on the job. I give him credit for what he has built. The problem is there is a lot of faults in it. And now you have CM Punk. I don't know what Tony Khan was thinking. There's no way that he was this ignorant that this wasn't going to come to a head. He had to have known, guys. We all noticed what was going on for 3 years. In the last 6-7 months, that anger against CM Punk and that 1 year anniversary, I'll never forget it, where all of those sites were not talking about it. Only after CM Punk in reflection, because you remember the week before? CM Punk almost walked out and quit AEW. Now some people think, yeah, you see, we were right. Look at what he said. No, that's actually the opposite. There were people behind the scenes that were trying to make CM Punk look like he didn't give a shit about the company. So why are we putting him in this position where he's going to get this championship? So you got to understand what's going on. This is a major problem, man, major problem. Thank you again, KD. Much love. I really appreciate that. Kevon Lewis, Regal was on commentary in the main event tonight. He was awfully fucking quiet, man. I heard Ring of Honor commentators. I heard nothing coming out of Regal's mouth. That motherfucker said almost nothing. He said almost nothing. I mean, if he was on commentary, you know, that's news to me. But, you know, he said next to nothing, in my opinion. William Regal is just, you know, this is the thing that I noticed about AEW with William Regal. You know, they want him to come off as this perfect leader of the Blackpool Combat Club, that people within it cannot make mistakes. Yuta is the exception to the rule, but with Regal, they don't want him to come across like a deer in headlights. You know, they don't want him to make excuses as to why some or anybody in the Blackpool Combat Club are not, you know, victorious or doing what they do to maximize what they do. You know, he was absent for that loss not too long. I don't remember who was in the match, but I remember that night when he said, "Thank you and good night." He was commentating on Rampage that was recorded the same night. So it wasn't that he had to leave for a different event. So I don't know, but Regal was noticeably absent for most of that main event. Crazy Cruiserweight, I'm no fan of hers, but where is Mercedes Martinez since she's the Ring of Honor Women's Champion? If enough people complain on social media over the next week, she'll show up on next week's Rampage. No, in actuality, she's been featured on their YouTube content. But yeah, I mean, you see what goes on. She'll be there and then she'll disappear. And then when people start noticing it, she'll reappear again. Look, because of her recent feud with Serena Deeb, she might show up on Rampage Friday. So let's see what goes down with Rampage. She could actually show up. So SoFly says Mercedes is doing her OnlyFans. She's doing a lot more than OnlyFans. She's been appearing at shows. I've been seeing some of her social media. But as far as AEW goes, as far as their regular TV product, yeah, she has been pretty much absent. So Cappy Caveman says she's hurt. Not aware of her being hurt. But I would not be surprised if she's on Rampage Friday. Maybe she just has a confrontation. By the way, you know, what happened to the Redeemer? The Redeemer! They have nothing for him. So I think they got to start focusing on Miro a little bit more. So, all right, he teamed with Sting and Darby Allin. Okay, fine. The Malakai Black issue really, really disappoints me, man. We'll close out with Malakai Black. I said this earlier in the show a little bit. You know, this guy, when he was in WWE as Aleister Black, and he was saying, "Fight me," begging someone to fight him, we used to joke on the shows that he's in a dark hotel room with the door closed and locked, begging people to fight him. If I want to fight someone and I really want to fight them, I show up where they are. I don't sit in a dark, locked hotel room hoping that someone shows up at my door. That's not his fault. That was WWE's fault. They brought him into AEW. He went right at it with Cody Rhodes. He had insane music, incredible new look, tweaking his character. He was the quintessential heel, and everybody was popping for his shit. He actually got some substantial wins. Oh, they're going to put the title on him. Really? Oh, they're going to put the TNT title on him. Really? Oh, they're going to put the tag team titles on him. Really? And maybe they're going to keep him for the Trios title. They're really high on Brody King. Really? You look. Obviously, their roster is way too bloated. And some people are injured right now. There's still a lot of concern about Adam Cole. Bobby Fish is gone. I don't think Roddy Strong replacing Bobby Fish is the answer, by the way. And I know that not everybody could be on TV every week. But as far as some of the most misused talent, you look at the first 3 years of AEW, I would put Malakai Black in the top five of some of the most misused talent. Just because you're featured on TV every 2 to 3, 4 weeks doesn't mean that you're being utilized in any. I think that guy, when he went to AEW, I think he was so invigorated, got so psychologically pumped up, excited, put everything into his character, ate, slept shit, everything about Malakai Black, even his presence online. Remember when we used to joke that, you know, it was kind of hard to like buy into Aleister Black, and then he's in a store with Zelina Vega, like buying yarn. You know, like even his character, like he really went hardcore with the House of Black. And they were featured and they would lose. He would lose. And he would come off sometimes looking really inferior. And, you know, like I said the other day, when he turned around and went to hit Black Mass against Sting and, you know, like doesn't even lift his foot up, looked like he was doing a disco move and spun around and gets the mist spit into his own face and blinded and loses. Yeah, that was his swan song. We find out now he's been given his conditional release. He can't go to WWE right away. And that's fine. But it's got to be crushing for that guy that he should have gotten so much more in AEW. And this is why people really need to speak out more with this stuff. You know, when people are, you know, using Elevation and Dark and, you know, we're talking about, remember Ruby Soho? She had like 35 wins and only two were on Dynamite and Rampage. I think there was 33 wins on Dark Elevation. And when people started talking about that on social media, people were downplaying, like, well, she's got 35 wins. Dark and Elevation means something. You know, and you now look at Ruby. She wasn't even in the women's title match at All Out. Instead, she's regulated to teaming up with Ortiz, which you tell me if it feels like Ruby Soho has any momentum right now. You know, you could sense it. You could feel it. You know, when you see someone and 90% of their wins, 95% of their wins is from a YouTube show, that tells you that for network TV and advertisers, those people are not good enough. That's why I never, ever, ever give a shit about Elevation or Dark. Anybody could be a superstar on a YouTube show. But when it comes to pay-per-view and network TV and advertisers and pleasing networks, if that person is not good enough, you know, that speaks volumes. That's why I'm concerned about Athena. Where do you go from here with Athena? What do you do? She going to become a baddie after all of this? Like, where do you go? Now Chris Statlander is going to be out for another 6 months plus. She had surgery. You know, what are you going to do? Bring in another surprise? Who's it going to be? So, you know, they got some big problems. But we'll see what happens. Guys, gals, it's been real. I'm going to jet out of here. You know, you have any comments about what I said tonight? I know not everybody agrees with my stance on CM Punk. A lot of people feel it was extremely unprofessional. And yeah, I mean, you probably shouldn't have done what you did, especially when you have the owner of the company, your boss, sitting right next to you. If that, let's be honest, if that was Triple H, if that was Vince McMahon, I don't think anybody would dare do something like that. Maybe CM Punk would, actually. But there is a very deep problem A lot of people in the media world got exposed this weekend. And they are spinning this like a top to try to seriously, desperately try to make people believe that they are part of the solution, even though for 3 years they were part of the problem. People aren't stupid. They're not stupid. And, you know, I brought to surface about past comments, and all you got to do is do a Google search. You will find much more than that. You will see a lot of those journalists that were live at All Out were also guilty in what CM Punk was complaining about. This is a snowball that's been building, and it came to a black mass on Sunday. And I don't know if that's going to get anybody else to grab a set of balls and do that also. You know, not everybody's in the position that CM Punk is in. But I'm going to jet out of here. I have vacation in about 36 hours. So I hope you enjoyed it. Don't forget, I will be off next week. But, you know, if you're a member of our YouTube channel, I expect to live stream at least one night while I'm in Florida next week. I don't know which night that'll be. You know, we got to see what's going on. Maybe if we get some bad weather. I will definitely let everybody know online if I'm going to be going to NXT next Tuesday. I hope to. I want to. But it's not guaranteed. If I don't, you know, get tickets, you know, then I'm not going. But someone is supposed to come through, so I'm pretty confident. I don't think I'm going to get the cold shoulder treatment like I did with AEW. But I hope everybody has a great rest of your week. Post any comments. If you enjoyed tonight's show, smash that like button. I would greatly appreciate it. Actually, you can, what can we use tonight? You can KOD that like button. I know, that's a lame fucking move. Can you really KOD a like button? No. We do a different move every show. All right, I'm out of here, everyone. Be well. I got to get myself some sleep, so ciao.
As far back as I can remember, I always wanted to be a podcaster. For me to live any other way was nuts. To me, those goody-good people who work shitty jobs for bum paychecks and took the subway to work every day and worried about their bills were dead. I mean, they were suckers. They had no balls. If I wanted something, I just took it. I ran everything. I paid the bills. I paid the hosts. I even paid the masked maniac. Everybody had their hands out. Everything was for the taking. We always called each other good fellas. You would always hear from somebody. You're gonna like Don Tony. He's all right. He's a good fella. He's one of us. But if you're part of my crew, nobody ever tells you they're gonna get rid of you. It doesn't happen that way. There weren't any arguments or curses like in the movies. See, your haters come with smiles. They come as your friends, the people who've claimed they care the most for your life. And now that's all over. And that's the best part. Today everything is different. There's lots of action. I don't have to wait around for everything like everyone else. Oh, I didn't get the vaccine? Fuck you, vaccine me. Oh, your delivery guy has COVID? Fuck you, feed me. Right after I moved here, I ordered egg noodles and ketchup, and I got spaghetti with meat sauce. I'm no longer an average nobody, while they get to live the rest of their lives like a bunch of schnooks.